Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa is here screening your calls. If you want to join us, dial 347-884-8327. We still have some lines open. You can join us on the live call. Once you're on the call, you can sit back and listen right on your phone, or at any time you can press 1, and Lisa will screen your call, and we'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. With me, special guest Rocco Davanzo from Landstar. If you have any questions at all about the Landstar system, and in fact, tonight I'd actually like to get down to some nitty-gritty, some detail about the differences and the freedom that's available at Landstar and the possibilities and how their system works. So if you have some specific questions, by all means, line those up. Rocco and I will be talking about how their system works, what kind of tools are available, and what it's like, you know, almost a week in the life of kind of thing, what it's like to be contracted to Landstar and have that kind of freedom and what's possible. So line up your questions. Again, if you're listening online and you want to join us, pick up the phone and dial 347-884-8327. Before we get to that, I do want to give you an update on what's going on in the industry, rates and volume and those kind of things. Looking at TransCore trend lines, spot market load availability slipped by 3.4% and equipment capacity tightened by 1.7%. This is for the week of September 19th to the 25th compared to the previous week. If seasonal patterns hold, freight volume may tick upwards this week as shippers accelerate freight movements before the third quarter closes. To give a recap, in August, spot freight availability declined by 14% compared to July. Load postings have declined in August on a month-over-month basis in 5 of the past 7 years. So loads going down in August compared to July, that's just a normal month-over-month pattern. It's happened, again, 5 of the past 7 years. August of 2005 and 2009 were the only 2 years where that actually changed, where freight actually went up in August compared to July. For the month of August, truck capacity declined by 3.6% compared to July. And the end result was an 11% decline in load-to-truck ratio from 5.65 to 5.04 available loads per truck. Now, if we compare that to August of 2009, it's a 151% year-over-year increase in the load-to-truck ratio. And even though it's down, just think about the number. Let's call it 5 loads per every truck. That puts us in a much better position to negotiate and puts upward pressure on prices. For the week, if we look at the individual segments, dry van load-to-truck ratio was off 2%. Flatbed load-to-truck ratio actually up 3.4%. reefer load-to-truck ratio down 4.5%. Month-over-month, numbers not looking too bad. Year-over-year, numbers are still looking fantastic. Still pretty strong numbers when it comes to load-to-truck ratio. The actual load-to-truck ratio in the van on the spot market looks like it's hanging out right at about 2.3%. If we look at the reefer load-to-truck ratio, pretty strong at 7-1, and flatbed load-to-truck still very strong at 17-1. So certainly on the flatbed and reefer side, you've got strong negotiation possibilities. Vans, not so much, but still not doing bad at a 2-1 load-to-truck ratio. Looking at the Internet Truck Stop Trans Forecast Letter, the market demand index declined. Make sure we're on the right week here. Looks like it actually held pretty steady. Not a real big change in either direction. It was off just a little bit. And really, the numbers pretty much following what was going on TransCor. If we look at rates, they were off 3% to $1.83. Van rates at $1.61. Flatbed rates at $1.68. Reefer rates at $1.96. And specialized at $2.10. Those are all rates including fuel surcharge. The outlook, Internet Truck Stop, pretty much the same thing, expecting rates to stay pretty firm throughout the rest of the third quarter and looking for a fairly strong fourth quarter based on all the data right now. All right, we are going to get to it here. Again, if you're listening online and you want to join us, lines are filling up, so you better jump in. 347-884-8327. With me tonight is Rocco DeVonzo from Landstar. Rocco, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Kevin. Thanks again for having me on.
Well, great to have you here. And so as far as available loads and those kind of things, I know that your system usually tracks pretty close with the rest of the markets. That's still holding true?
Yeah, we talked a little bit on Saturday about that. We haven't seen any change significantly from that, although I think last time I was on in July, you talked about a big drop, and we didn't see that in July. You know, we saw a normal seasonal fall off, and then things started to move along again. So you can hear me okay, Kevin?
Yeah, you sound great.
Good, thank you.
Yep. You know, we've had you on the show before, and we've talked about different things and different aspects of Landstar. But, you know, the one thing that I think is really different, it's kind of what I want to highlight in this show, is the freedom, for one thing, that's available, and the opportunities that are available. What brought this up for me was I was preparing for a webinar that I did tonight, and this has been a natural progression in the things that I've been teaching owner-operators over the years. You know, I started doing seminars 15 years ago and focused primarily on cutting expenses. And I focused there for a lot of reasons. One, everybody who owns a truck can cut expenses. Everybody. Across the board, that kind of stuff applies to everybody. Two, it's easier to teach. Cutting revenue or cutting expenses is, there's formulas we can use, there's numbers, we can calculate things. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, to the point where I can tell somebody, if you slow your average speed from 65 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour, here's how much it's going to save you this year. We can calculate it. It's cut and dried. It's pretty hard and fast, easy to teach. What happened was over the years, people would people who have been, you know, following and have been to multiple seminars or who have the DVDs or the books have said, you know what, Kevin, I've learned a lot of this stuff about cutting expenses, and I work on it every day, and I'm getting better at it all the time. What's next? What? How about, you know, when will the advanced course come out? And I've been thinking about it for years, and I tried to put together the advanced course on cutting expenses, and there just wasn't one. I mean, I was teaching what you needed to know. Now, we always pick up new techniques or new products or things like that, but there was no real advanced course. And then what I came to realize was the advanced side of how to be more profitable focused on revenue. How do you change the amount of revenue you bring in? And it was a real challenge to figure out how to teach that. First of all, not everybody has a lot of control over how much revenue they bring in. You know, if you're leased to a carrier on a mileage contract and you're already, you know, managing your time fairly well, so you're getting in a lot of miles, there's nothing left. You know, we're limited to how many miles we can drive in a week or a day or a month or a year, and you're on a fixed mileage contract. So really, what can I teach you? You know, focus on the expense side.
Sure.
So the advanced part comes in when somebody is ready to move to that next level of being in a system that does allow them to control their revenue and to choose their revenue. And once you get there, then the possibilities become endless. I mean, I worked a long time on trying to come up with this, the materials and the strategies and the knowledge of how you maximize things on the revenue side. And I teach it at the CMC. It takes me several hours there. And I just taught it in a one-hour webinar, but it goes so much beyond that. I mean, all I try to teach is the basics, and then you have to expand from there. And as I was putting together the webinar, and I put together all these tools that are available, the load boards and, you know, rate indexes and fuel prices and after-tax fuel prices and calculators. And I got thinking, you know, all of this stuff that I'm talking about, you know, it's really focused on somebody who may have their own authority, which is a tough way to go. And if you're going to go that way, you better learn all that stuff. But I got thinking, all of this stuff that I'm teaching applies to your system at Landstar, and not only does it apply, but you have all those same tools internally.
Sure, and you know, you were talking there, and I was frantically making notes. Ways to improve revenue in a mileage-based system, as you said, Kevin, there's a fairly short list there. Drive more miles.
That's it.
Pretty much that's the end of the story. In a revenue-sharing system like Landstar, where the owner-operator, we call them BCOs or business capacity owners, where they share in the revenue that we build the customer, there's a lot of ways to improve your revenue, and most of them center around finding higher-priced freight, and that may mean running in areas that other people don't want to run. That may mean pulling a different trailer type. If you're used to pulling a flatbed, hey, maybe you want to think about a step deck. That might mean buying your own trailer instead of pulling a company trailer. A lot of guys make a great living putting LTLs together and making a cross-country trip, not with one load on the trailer, but with multiple loads on the trailer, the combination of which pays very, very well. And certainly everybody could cut their empty miles. And that's what I wrote in 3 minutes, Kevin. If we spent some time talking about that, we could come up with dozens of ways to make more money, increase your revenue without driving any more miles.
Well, it's interesting because you came up with that list in a couple minutes while I was talking. And while you were going over your list, it started me thinking about stuff that I don't even cover. You know, you mentioned trailer types. Well, I know some guys who own multiple trailer types.
Sure. So do I.
Yeah, and they understand that different trailer types can be seasonal, and trailers, you know, really aren't that expensive And if we really start to understand freight and seasonal changes in freight, I was just going over the fact that in dry van freight right now, the load-to-truck ratio is 2-to-1, which is still much better than it was last year, but in flatbed, it's 17-to-1. That certainly gives you a few more options.
Sure, and flatbed freight tends to be a little more seasonal or different seasons. You know, construction drives flatbed business, whether that's the moving of machinery or the moving of building materials. And in many areas of the country, I'm up in Rockford, Illinois today, where it's starting to cool off already. The construction business slows way down November through March, and consequently, the flatbed business slows down in that area of the country, or this area of the country. So you're right.
And then a lot of times fourth quarter van freight tends to pick up some because of holiday seasons and things like that, or reefer freight or whatever it might be. So there are, you know, when you were talking, my mind starts going in all kinds of directions. And, you know, there's just so much we could talk about if you have that ability. And again, there's nothing wrong with being leased to a carrier in a mileage contract. And it's not a bad place to start a career. In fact, I'd like to see people almost do it sometimes and learn how to focus on their expenses. But if you've been there and you're wondering what that next step is, where is the opportunity? The opportunity is being able to choose your own freight. And when I sat down and I looked at, okay, if we've covered all these expenses, we're working on them constantly, we're always getting better at it, what's next? One of the things that I found was, first, the ability to choose your own freight, but another thing that's possible in your system, it's not necessary, but it's possible, is I really believe that there's almost a full mile per gallon available by controlling our own trailer, by making sure we've got the right tires and the right aerodynamics. And that's another thing that's possible in your system, the ability to own and control my own trailer, which also helps me, again, on the expense side and on the revenue side. So now that I've started teaching on the revenue side, the more I work on it, the bigger and bigger the possibilities become. I mean, it's almost mind-boggling.
Kevin, if your expenses are some portion of your revenue, it's been said, it taught to me several years ago when I was in another business, that you can always raise your revenue by 1% without affecting any of your other practices. You can reduce your expenses by 1%. Well, since your revenue is, we hope, greater than your expenses, that's where you get the bigger bang from your buck is trying to get more dollars to the top line as opposed to squeezing more dollars out of the bottom line. At some point, you get to diminishing returns on the expenses, and revenue is the way to go.
It is, and I think it is the next step. You know, I expenses are easier, and they're immediate, but revenue is the next step, the advanced step. And I've told people one of the things that limits us on the revenue side is the fact that the market is what it is. I mean, we can't go out and demand a rate that isn't reasonable and isn't being paid in the market. But what I've also found is that a big portion of people in the industry are running for less than what is available, either because they're locked into a mileage contract, so they miss those opportunities, or they just don't understand how to get better rates, how to find those lanes. And one of the things that I really love about Landstar System is that it gives the opportunity to go out and pick the different kind of trailers or the different kind of freight, pick the different loads, run in whatever lanes I want to run in, run when I want to run, and take off when I want to take off, and nobody really cares. And it also gives me the tools to maximize my experience doing that. One, it takes all the back office stuff away. I don't have to worry about collections and invoicing and all that other stuff. If that's gone, I don't have to mess with it. I can focus on what's really important to me, moving the right freight at the best rate, keeping my expenses down. I have all those tools available. And one of the things I'd like to focus on tonight is within the system, there are lots of different ways to operate. I mean, there are probably so many different ways to run your business over there, we couldn't even possibly come up with them all. And what I mean by that is when we run, where we run, what kind of freight we want run, how we find our loads, where, you know, our freight is coming from, what technology we're using within your system, and you've got a lot of different options available. What are some of them?
Well, Kevin, we've got some great technology, as you mentioned, and I'll go through that, starting with the easiest way and then moving into maybe an advanced method for working through our system, and then going up to what really is the old-fashioned way, but is also very, very effective. But the first way, as we've talked many times, Landstar has an available load board. It's available on the Internet to Landstar BCO, and at any point in time, there are literally thousands of loads out there. So thousands of loads sounds like a lot, but trying to sort through those thousands of loads is a daunting task. So we've built some interfaces that are very, very simple, intuitive, easy to use. And what I did earlier today is you know, we talked about a week in the life of a Landstar BCO and how to find loads and how I plan loads and plan my week. So as I said, I'm in Rockford, Illinois. Earlier today, I looked for flatbed loads within 100 miles of Rockford, since that's where I am. And there were more than 100. I chose one that delivered in eastern Tennessee, southeastern Tennessee, on Friday. So then what I did, Kevin, is I go back in and do another search and say, hey, show me what flatbed freight is available picking up on Friday in southeastern Tennessee. Dozens more loads there already posted and available. There's one headed out to California, delivers Tuesday. So today is Wednesday. I'm set. I'm going to deliver in southeastern Tennessee on Friday. I'm going to load that very same day and head west over the weekend out to California. My next 7 days are set, planned, and I'm ready to go. And I don't know if you realize that freight out of California, especially this time of year, I'm not at all worried about being able to find something coming back east. Very, very simple. That entire search process took me about 5 minutes. I would normally call the agents and book it, but no more than 30 minutes worth of work there, including the dispatch and the delivery instructions and all of that. Very, very easy to do. I believe you're familiar with how that works.
Totally up to you. I mean, you do this completely on your own. If you need some help with the technical part of it, the help's available. But for the most part, you become your own operation, and you choose all those things. And that you know, planning ahead, the better you get at that, the more profitable you become. And this is where, you know, the advanced course comes in. There is virtually unlimited opportunity to get better and better at working within a system like this.
Kevin, I agree with you. And again, as you pointed out, easy to use, but if for whatever reason it's not clicking, first of all, when an owner-operator comes to Landstar, we have a great two-day orientation. We'll go through that with everybody. After that, we've got what we call our BCO services group, and you'll get someone in that group assigned to you for the next 90 to 180 days to help you through anything that comes up during those first few weeks at Landstar. And in fact, after 120 days, we want you to come back through orientation, because that's when you're going to have some good questions to ask. The day you go through on day one, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and so you don't know what questions yet to ask. But when you've been out on the road for you know, 120 days, about 4 months, that's when things start to click. And go in and ask some good questions and get some good answers. So we've got great training programs in place to help people through this. But again, very, very easy too.
All right. So there was one quick, easy way to actually plan an entire week. I mean, sitting down at the computer, couple phone calls to wrap things up, and I'm done. My week's planned. That was pretty simple.
Very simple. Now, I'll give you another scenario. Let's say that I like to go to Tennessee, but for whatever reason, there isn't anything on the board today for Friday pickup that maybe caught my eye. So we have a system that we call load alerts where I can log on again and bring that tool up and say, all right, I want you to start looking for freight for me that picks up Friday out of East Tennessee, and I'm going to give it a minimum rate. I don't want to see anything that pays less than $2.50 a mile. I set that up, Kevin, quick, go outside, secure my flatbed load, start driving down to Tennessee from here in Rockford. Meanwhile, this tool is constantly scanning our system, and as soon as another agent or a Landstar agent puts a load in there that meets the requirements I set, and I may have said, is, you know, anything within 100 miles of Chattanooga that pays $2.50 a mile or more, as soon as someone puts a load in the system that meets that requirement that I set up, I'm going to get a voicemail, an email, or both, depending on what I ask the system to do. And, again, my choice, pull over, listen to my message. If that's something I'm interested in, and call the agent and book it. If it's not, I'll just keep on moving. Again, very easy to do. I set the rate that I wanted. I set the origin that I wanted. And I could even say, I want to go from Tennessee to Texas and make $2.50 a mile. Don't call me until you find something that meets that requirement. Again, those are all my choices, and then I'm on my way driving down the road, focus on operating safely. Meanwhile, my employee of the month is looking for a load that meets my requirements. Again, very, very easy.
The employee of the month, it's a piece of technology that is really like having a dispatcher that you tell what to do instead of the other way around.
That's a great way to put it, Kevin. It sure is. Don't bother me. Find this.
Very cool.
So, and then I talked about the old-fashioned way, Kevin, and this is something that we really encourage our folks to do over time, and that is develop relationships with our agent family. You know, in the true independent owner-operator, run under your own authority world, you have customers, and you have to develop relationships with those customers and sell yourself to those customers. In the Landstar world, we have about 1,000 agents, and they solicit business from the shippers. And to a great degree, those agents are our BCO's customers. And just like as an independent, you would have to form relationships with your shippers and build trust with them, we encourage our BCOs to form relationships with agents and build two-way trust, Kevin, because it really is a two-way street. Build a two-way trusting relationship with those agents so that the next time I'm headed from Rock to Chattanooga, I can call the agent that had that California load and say, hey, man, I'll be down there later this week. What do you got? And, hey, I got that load out to California like you did for me last month. You interested in that? I sure am. Boom. It's
absolutely
done.
And I've been telling people this for years that, you know, to really be successful, if you want to get to that next level, you work at cultivating those really good relationships with the agents. And sometimes maybe you pick lanes that you like, maybe you pick a triangle you like, maybe you pick areas that you like. You cultivate that trust and that relationship. And again, it's two ways. You know, you trust that the agent is going to do their part of the job, you're going to do your part, and it makes the entire system work very well. And the longer you work on those relationships and the more you develop them, the more successful you're going to be.
I agree, Kevin. And relationships in this business in particular, they're not difficult. Do what you said you're going to do when you do it. Pick up the freight on time, deliver it safely and on time, and you'll earn yourself a good reputation.
Exactly.
And, you know, that at some point then, too, the agents become your employee of the month because you do a good job for them, and they're calling you, hey, when are you going to be in Chattanooga next? I got a load out to California that you like. So relationships are very important in any business, but certainly in ours.
So between those things that you've just talked about, the load board system itself, the load alert system, the agent system, we have unlimited possibilities on how we run this. I mean, there are so many variables. We have so many options, and that's what I've always said I want. Give me the options. Let me figure out how to run this myself. Don't lock me into the system of I have to call dispatch at this time every day, and dispatch tells me I'm going here, or here are your two choices or three choices. I mean, that's okay. But ultimately, if I'm going to run my own business, I want options. I want the ability to run this business the way I think I can run it, be successful. And within this system, I have a lot of choices.
No question, Kevin. I said that when I looked out of Rockford initially today, there were more than 100 loads, not two or three, more than 100 loads I could choose from in just about any direction. Alberta, Saskatchewan, Miami, California, where do you want to go today? I don't know whose best slogan is, but it fits us pretty well, too. Where do you want to go today?
Where do you want to go today? Well, you know, and one of the things I teach in the webinar and the seminars when I teach about low selection for profit, first of all, we have to have the opportunity. I mean, we have to have the ability to go out and look at and choose from multiple loads, and a lot of people don't have that. In your system, I could go into your system. I can get all of the information I need. I have this whole list of information that we gather ahead of time. Then I wrote a calculator. We take all that information, we plug it into a calculator, and it literally tells us which load is most profitable net revenue. Not just the rate. I mean, rate's important. But if we advance, if we get to the next step of this, we start looking at how to calculate the profitability of each load, the profitability of each load per day, and what we really find. I mean, the overall message that I try to get across to people is, in general, keep the wheels turning. When you leave the house, keep the wheels turning until you get home. When you get home, take your time off and enjoy yourself. But when you hit the road, I did an example tonight, and it was real life comparing five different loads, and rates varied from really like $1.80 a mile to $1.50 a mile, somewhere in that range. And the $1.80 a mile was even the longest run, and it was the highest rate. And that's almost always the one that people gravitate towards. But ultimately what happened was if we were looking at our fixed and variable cost and we were calculating in deadhead time and sitting time and the weight of the load and the fuel price in each lane, there was a load in there at $1.60, very much toward the bottom end of the rate scale, that turned out to be the most profitable. So that's another opportunity. Once we have that freedom to choose our own loads, then we can go to that next level of learning how to choose really profitable loads based on more criteria. But first, we have to have that freedom. We have to have the ability to choose those loads. And in your system, all that information is already available to me. I just have to learn how to calculate.
Yeah, and one thing that you didn't mention there is system, we have that look ahead. So if I had never been to Chattanooga before, and I'm sitting up here in Rockford, I'm thinking, wow, when I get down there, is there going to be anything coming out? I can look ahead and say, well, there's a lot of stuff coming out already, posted Wednesday for Friday, and that will increase as the week moves on. But I already knew that I was very comfortable taking that load south to Tennessee because I could see what was coming out of Tennessee. And instead of worrying about this load, now I could string two loads together and know that for 7 days, the wheels are going to be turning, doors are going to be closed, and I'm making money.
Yeah, I know there have been times when I've talked to I'm in contact with a lot of your BCOs. I mean, I've been working with some of your guys, you know, for years. Some of them have gone there, you know, based on my recommendation because I felt it was the next step for them. You know, they were somewhere, they worked on their expenses, they were doing really well, they wanted to know what was next. And I've stayed in contact with a lot of those people over the years. And it's not unusual for somebody to call me, and they've got 10 days already planned out in advance.
Not unusual at all. But I talked to many folks, as you can imagine, today, and most folks know where at least not just this load but the next load is coming from. And as you say, sometimes two and three loads out ahead. And a lot of that comes with experience. A lot of that comes with learning the agents and forming those relationships so your phone is ringing instead of the other way around. You always want to be in demand. It's always better to be the askee instead of the asker.
Yeah, that's right. I like that. Hey, I'm looking at a bunch of questions. What do you say we get to some phone calls?
That sounds great.
All right. Let's start off in Atlanta. Rico, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin. Man, you guys answered one of my questions off the bat during your monologue there. I guess I'm going to ask it anyway, see if you can give me a different spin on it. The one question I got when I talked to a couple of your BCOs is that I guess it speaks to the relationships factor, is that a lot of the loads never even hit the internet board as far as the load board is concerned. I guess that speaks to the relationship aspect of it. And the only other question I would ask is, you guys were talking about trailers and about being able to make more money owning your own trailer. Well, is it necessarily the best move at Landstar to own your own trailer and miss out on the drop and hook opportunities? Or I guess those are my only two real questions, I guess.
I'll start the answer, Kevin, or excuse me, Rico, by saying Kevin has a great answer for that, and I know he'll get into it, but there's no always in life, and you have to look at what you want to do, where you want to run, and then make that decision. Owning a trailer is an option for you. Is it always the best option for everyone? I don't know that I would answer that yes, for, at least for the reason that you said there. There are certainly drop and hook opportunities in the system. But you know something else. If you buy a trailer today, Kevin said, trailers are relatively cheap. You buy it, and you may decide for 3 or 4 months of the year that you want to get into that drop and hook stuff. Nothing stops you from doing that. And with that, I'll let Kevin talk about trailer ownership and his process for making that decision.
Yeah, and you know, I've been working with a lot of people on this over the years. We've done the numbers over and over and over. As a pure numbers game, absolutely you want to own the trailer. I mean, it really just works out. The extra revenue you get more than covers the cost of owning the trailer and adds profit. If we throw on top of that the ability to build our trailer so that it gets the very best fuel mileage, that even adds to the profit level. So as a pure numbers game, hands down, no question. But there's more to life than just numbers. It's lifestyle and your choice of freight and those things. So what I tell people is, look, if you don't already own your trailer, don't run out, buy one, you know, day one. Go pull their trailer, and at some point, just treat a trailer like it's your own. Try to stay hooked to it. Pretend it's your own, and you'll see what it's like. You'll see what kind of freight you have to give up, and you'll be able to make that decision on whether or not it works for you without spending a penny investing in a trailer. I usually tell people, do it for one full quarter. Try to keep a trailer for 3 months or at least not do any drop and hook for 3 months as though you owned your own trailer during that time and see if it works in your operation or not. Rico, is that a good answer?
Yeah, that was a great answer. That was all I had, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. And Rocco, just to kind of follow up on the first part of his question, are there loads that never make it to the board?
Sure there are. There's a lot of folks who have formed those relationships as we teach them to do, Kevin. Sure there are.
And it really is part of that relationship. An agent is in touch with BCOs that they work with, or the BCOs are in touch with the agent, and that freight's already taken care of. And that's really the ultimate goal. I mean, we want the freight to get moved the way it should be moved, on time, safely, all those things, and that relationship is part of what makes that happen.
Sure, and the reason you got kind of an odd answer from me is there's still 5,000 loads out there today.
Yeah, it's not like there's any shortage.
Right.
All right, let's go next to Dale in L.A. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. First off, shameless plug, I'll be joining you tomorrow evening.
Perfect.
On the podcast. And question for Rocco. As a Canadian, I'm limited to, haul a load in, turn around, and haul a load out. I don't have the opportunity to grab a load in Tennessee, head over to L.A., and then come back out.
Mm-hmm.
How does that handcuff me as a BCO over at Landstar, or do I just have to work a little harder at the opportunity?
Handcuffs isn't the right word, Dale. Certainly, if you have to head in one direction, it limits your view of the world. But I'll say this. I wish we had more people who understood and were willing to make that border crossing regularly. With all of the changes that have happened in the last several years, some folks have shied away from crossing the border. Today you have to have a passport, but there's a lot of uncertainty about how that process works, even if you do have a passport. There's a lot of uncertainty about different regulations in Canada, and I'll say specifically, do I need to have or not need to have a speed limiter on my tractor? So you might think you're limited, but I turn that around and say, boy, we might have a short supply of people who are willing to make that run back and forth regularly. I don't think that it handcuffs you at all.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. All right, on that note, does Landstar have a customs department to assist a driver in, for example, setting up your ACE manifest to cross out of Canada into the U.S.?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
How's that for an answer, Dale? Yes, we do.
That was easy.
All right. So really, the opportunity is there. How is your freight ratio from say Canada into the U.S. and then back into Canada?
Without looking at it, I wouldn't want to answer that today. I'd be glad to, Dale, if you want to call our folks tomorrow, they'll look it up and you can say, hey, you said you were in L.A. today?
Yes.
And trying to get back to Ontario or Vancouver or wherever you're from, we can tell you what's available right then.
Oh, okay.
Send you a list so. I'd encourage you to give those folks a call, and if Kevin will allow me, I'll give that phone number out to you right now.
As a matter of fact, I was going to tell you, you better give it out because we haven't done that yet.
Phone number is 877-472-0112. I'll repeat
it. That out again before the end of the show, so I have something ready to write with, but go ahead and repeat it again now, Rocco.
877-472-0112.
Okay, I'll. You and I have spoken in the past, Rocco, and I guess I'll go back to doing some more homework. And thanks very much for taking my call. And, Kevin, I'll be speaking with you tomorrow evening.
Thank you. Tomorrow evening you're doing the podcast on getting ready for winter, correct?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's that time of year, and I think we best be prepared.
It is. We're looking forward to some good advice tomorrow night, so thanks. All right, let's go next to New Mexico. John, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin, Rocco. I just was wondering, Rocco, if a guy is getting ready to switch over, how much money should he have sitting in the bank before the revenue starts coming in? How quickly do you pay? And, what, you know, I know you have to go to class, so that takes a little time. How much downtime are we going to have?
Well, John, the easy answers to that are we have a two-day orientation. You leave orientation, headed for your first load. There's very little sitting around between orientation. It's typically you're headed out that same day to pick up your first load, and we pay weekly. So you pick your settlement day. If you want to get paid on Friday, we might need to have your paperwork by Wednesday. I don't have that window right off the top of my head, but ultimately we're going to pay you weekly. You're going to pick the day, and that begins almost instantly when orientation, the two-day orientation, is complete.
Okay. There's no delay in getting your truck approved or anything like that?
All of that takes place before you go to orientation. You can continue to do what you're doing today until you're ready to come. We have orientation centers, including one in Dallas, be the closest one to New Mexico, but you can go to any of them.
Okay. One other question. Your internet services, there's no app or anything that needs to be downloaded. It's strictly internet.
No, there sure isn't. In fact, it can even be done through most smartphone BlackBerry devices, but most folks carry a laptop with a Wi-Fi or air card.
And the new Apple iPad actually has a $20 fee for internet access, which is cheaper than most air cards, and you could get on that way. And the app, the iPad, is like $700, so a guy could get into that really quick if he didn't have a laptop or something.
John, I'll take your word for that. No one would ever accuse me of being a technology fiend. So someone encouraged me to buy an iPad the other day, but I'm just getting used to my iPod Shuffle that I've had for 2 years. So leap for me.
Hey, that is a good question, though, Rocco. Has anybody checked to see if the web browsers that are available on the iPad work with your site?
Let's do a little follow-up on that, Kevin. If I'll investigate that, and maybe you can follow up with the listeners later in the week.
That'd be great. That'd be great. We'll double-check that. I know I use mine constantly. I mean, the longer I have it, the more I use it. Let's go to South Carolina. Don, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening. I am a BCO for Landstar. I've been here a couple of years, and I have to say, everything you guys have said tonight so far is totally the truth. To anybody out there listening, this is one of the greatest companies to work for. But now I have a question for Rocco.
All right.
On our Landstar BCO board, the loads that come up used to show up 3 hours prior to the loads showing on the other board for anybody else, but it seems like they now show up at the same time. Could you tell me why that happened?
Don, I don't agree that they used to show that there used to be a three-hour delay. It has always been the agent's choice where they want to put the load and how quickly they want it to show up on the other board. And for the folks that are listening, Landstar has a proprietary BCO website for freight that our customers have said, we want this to move on a Landstar truck. And then some of our freight, they'll allow us to broker. And in all of those cases, what we're most trying to do is cover our customers' freight and give them the best service possible. And if I can just take a minute, I'll explain our thought process there. Today, or I shouldn't say today, maybe years ago, a customer would call a Landstar agent or any transportation company and say, I've got 10 loads out of Rockford, Illinois today. How many do you want? And a Landstar agent might look at his truck board and say, well, there's four trucks. I'll take four of those. And all right, he or she gets his four loads. Then the shipper calls another carrier and says, I got six loads left. How many you want? And that other carrier may take three and may take another call. Today, the shippers don't want to work that way. The shippers want to make one phone call, and they want to get that load covered. So back to that scenario, I got 10 loads out of Rockford today. How many you want? If I'm a Landstar agent and I just take four and force that shipper to find another carrier, at some point they're going to find a carrier that says, you know what, I'll take all 10 of those loads. You don't need to call that Landstar agent anymore. You call me, I'll get them all covered. And so the shipper moves to that provider, and you know what happens? That provider calls the Landstar agent and says, hey, I got four loads out of Rockford. You want them? And we get them. We get the same four loads that we had before, but we get them at a lower rate, and we're helping that other provider steal our customers from us. So what we want our agents to do and what our agents are doing today is I'll take all 10 loads. I'm going to take the four to the BCOs, and I'm going to find other capacity. Maybe it's six other BCOs, but I'm going to get those other loads covered so that nobody can come in and steal my customer. Does that make sense, Don?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir, it does. It really does. The loads I've been looking at over the years, the last couple of years, it seemed like, and now that's where I may be mistaken, it seemed like when I'd look at loads, they would show up on our board, I could go up and grab them, and they would never show up on the other board, but it seemed like there was like, but if I waited a while, I could actually go see the same loads on both boards, but there would be like a three-hour gap in the time frames they put them on the secondary board. And that's why I assumed, and that may be wrong on my part, I assumed that there was a three-hour window there.
No, our agents have always had the ability as to where they want that to show up. But again, I want to stress, three of every four loads in our system can't be brokered at all, have to go on a Landstar truck today. Landstar is with our BCOs, supporting our BCOs. We always will. It's a very, very important part of our business. It's one of the first things that our agents sell. We have the best operators in the business. We'll take the best carrier freight. So you should not worry that we're going to go in any other direction.
Rocco, and I'm glad you took a couple minutes on that. And I've been talking about this trend for quite some time now, the trend that is driven from the customer. And we have to remember, we're a business. We're here to serve the customer. And you described it exactly the way I've been describing it for years. You have to go in and give the customer the service they want. And for carriers today, that requires having a brokerage operation because you just can't move it all yourself. So you go in and you secure those customers. And I think you guys have a great system of handling that.
And Kevin, sometimes we can move it all ourselves, but we can't
right.
let the customer have to wonder if today's that day or if tomorrow's going to be that day. You've got to take it all and protect your customer. And when you do take it all you're really allowing the competition to do is sell complications. Hey, I know you're using Landstar, and I know they're covering all your freight, but give me half of it. Make two phone calls.
So I'm glad you took a couple minutes on that. I think that's an important point. Let's try to squeeze in a couple more calls. Let's go to Texas. Brent, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin and Rocco. Yeah, I've been with Landstar about 5 months now. One thing I like about it, I've been at least to like five different carriers until I got here where I was just getting mileage-based pay. And what's nice is when you book your load to your destination, you can find another load out of there so that once you deliver, you know which way to go. Once you get out of that receiver, on you go to wherever you want. You know, if you got to wait the next day to reload, at least you can know which way you're going, get your truck serviced, whatever you need to do. You know which direction you're leaving and heading to, which is really nice. One thing I've found, though, is that when I put together a tour, you really don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. Like, once you're under a load, maybe book one on the other end, because if you put more than that together, I'm finding that I'm getting calls where the agent calls me up and says, hey, this load canceled on me. And actually, it's happened quite frequently. And I'm wondering, Rocco, if you could give me a little idea why that's happening. That's just something that I'm kind of trying to get a handle on here. So what happens if I got too many loads booked beyond that? I have to call those agents, or else scramble to just get anything just to get me to that region, so I don't let that other agent down on the far end.
Well, there's a couple of questions in there, and I'm sorry. Was it Fred? The phone broke up when Kevin was said your name the first
yeah.
time.
Okay, so my name is Brent.
Brent.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of questions there. First of all, loads do cancel, and loads cancel for very legitimate reasons. I don't know why you've had a run of those lately. Without looking at each load, I can't tell you that. My guess would be that you're just in a run of bad luck right now. At the same time, you know, the economy has been up and down lately, and it may be that customers are just canceling orders more often this summer than they did earlier in the spring. If you know, Kevin and I talked back in May, and the freight truck capacity market was going crazy. I think if I remember correctly, Kevin, you talked about load-to-truck ratios at 30 to 1.
Flatbed got up above 40 to 1. It was just crazy.
In that environment, you're probably not going to experience a lot of canceled loads, or if you do, you find another one right away. When the freight slows down a little bit and people get a little, shippers get a little bit wary about having too much inventory on time, it's very possible that we're seeing increased load cancellations from the customer. But again, without looking at each of those, I don't know what happened. I will say that I haven't seen a trend at Landstar that's happening more frequently today than it was back in May.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I've been getting a lot of drop and hook stuff too. So, I mean, in order to go and get my own trailer, which I'm thinking of doing, I just think that I'll have to, like Kevin was saying, I maybe want to just try to work my loads differently. But you kind of got to talk to the agent and find out, you know, whether or not, you know, they'll ask you if are you pulling a company van or you got your own trailer. That's where you find out whether it's a drop and hook. Because I was hoping that maybe Landstar would differentiate that load when you put in your search, you know, for what loads you want to contact you, that they have it in a system that, okay, this BCO has his own trailer, so only those loads that aren't drop and hook will be offered to him, instead of having to haggle with the agent and then find out, oh no, that load has a drop on one end or the other. So then, okay, well, that was kind of time that kind of, you know, you didn't really need to waste your time and get on that one with that. So, but I know one good thing, if you had your own trailer, like Kevin said, you're going to make more money. And so if, say, you go home and then you can call specific agents that you set up your, over time, you learn your agents from your area that can get you moving. At least that way they can know that you're coming out of your home area, and that agent that handles that region, he can just go ahead and book something.
And, Brent, I hate to do it to you, but we are right up against the clock. And, Rocco, we had several questions that we just didn't get to. So what is the number that they can call to get those questions answered?
Okay, the number is 877-472-0112. One more time, 877-472-0112.
And as always, I want to thank everybody for joining us. And just ran out of time to get to all the questions, but you can get all your questions answered at that number. And Rocco, so much to talk about, so little time. Let's do this again soon.
Hey, great call, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, thanks, and we'll talk to you again soon. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.